Welcome to Just Go With It, a podcast by 20-somethings for 20-somethings.
Fun, flirty, and keeping it real. An absolute riot, these two.
If it isn't over the top, it ain't us.
They came out of college on top. Then life hit them in the face.
Be a bit more professional, please.
Couldn't shut us up then.
Won't shut us up now.
Here are the tips and tricks you are going to need to get through your 20s.
We are getting into it.
Strap yourselves in for a wild ride.
Live on air.
I'm Abby.
And I'm Ashley.
Good Lord, it's already season two.
Grab a drink, take a seat, and get ready to just go with it.
What is going on, you guys? It's Friday and it's time for our favorite sound.
Fresh. Abby was just saying that she says that same intro every single week. And I said, you know what? There's something to be said for consistency. And brief little story arc that I have for you is that my friend went to Hawaii over Labor Day weekend. And she hadn't been maybe since high school. And so I was hanging out with her on Tuesday and I was like, oh, did you buy any souvenirs? And she was like, yes, but I discovered something about the souvenir the second that I was on the plane. It came to me out of nowhere. She's like, I bought this shirt from this one place. And as I was on the plane, I realized to myself, 8 years ago when I was in Hawaii, I bought the exact same shirt with my family.
No
and 8 years later, I bought the same darn shirt. She's like, and here it is. Let me show it to you. And I said, you know what? At the very least, your style is consistent.
That's really actually very tender. But is it just like a tourist shirt?
Like a purple shirt
in Hawaii?
It's like a Comfort Colors vibe. And it has like a nice like drawing on the back or something.
Does it have a little patch on the front? A little pocket?
I don't know if it had a pocket. But it was like Comfort Colorsy. But it was the exact same shirt, same color too, same everything about it.
Well, why didn't she just wear her one from back home?
I don't know. She didn't think to pack it. Beats me. Oh. But there's something to be said for consistency or your style not evolving. Either
one. That's so true. No one in our generation also is consistent because we're so sporadic and we always are just hopping around to the next best thing.
Okay, you're getting off on a whole other episode tangent. We could talk about that one for a long time.
Well, I'm just saying there's not enough consistency in this world. So maybe we should bring that back. Normalize making it cool again.
You know what actually is disrupting the consistency in our personal lives currently?
What?
And I think I'm a little bit more devastated than you are. The queen has left us.
Yeah, we got to talk about it. RIP the queen. What is she, 96?
96. God save the queen. I had a very tender heart towards her.
Yes, you follow the royal culture and pop culture following the royal family a little bit more than me. So tell me in your own words how this is impacting the family and the country at large.
I'll tell you how it's impacting the family. As everyone already knows, Charles is now the king. Mm-hmm. And we, and probably our kids, aren't going to see another queen in our lifetime because the next queen is going to be Charlotte. And in order for Charlotte to be queen, Charles will die. William will have to die. William's son, who's the first one? George will have to die. And then George's kids would have to die. And then Charlotte would get to be queen.
We'll never say never.
But they are allowed to step away from the throne. They don't like have to accept it forever. They can like step away or retire
like
early.
Meghan Markle vibes?
Kind of, yeah.
I also wonder, I thought if you were the king.
Yeah, what are your questions?
Doesn't that make his wife the queen?
She is the queen, but she has a different title and she's not like blood related.
Because she's
at
not
all.
Blood.
Yeah. She's just an accessory, if you will.
Well, what about the princess of Genovia? What about her? Where does she fall into the
princes
family?
And princesses can die, princes and princesses. Just because you're a princess doesn't mean you become a queen.
And when does Julie Andrews take the throne?
Julie Andrews is someone I'm actually actively worried about. She's getting up there.
Her and Rob Duvall, I'm sweating.
I was actually telling my mom a few weeks ago, you know, when Rob Duvall dies, game's over for Abby.
Yeah, don't count on me being around anywhere for at least 2 months post Rob Duvall because
I don't know
I
what you're
going to
do. And is he older than the queen was?
God, I don't know. I'm going to look that up right
look
now.
Look that up. A little fun fact about the queen. As you know, she had corgis her whole life, right?
Yes.
So
her
dad gave her one corgi specifically when she was a teenager. And ever since that corgi, like 80 years ago, she bred that one and she had puppies from the same lineage of dogs. And then a few years ago, she decided to stop breeding them because she said she didn't want to die and leave them behind. She'd rather outlive them because she knew she was getting older.
Queen in her own right. No wonder. Queen
in every way. She loved animals.
Wait, that's really cute. Mm-hmm. Also, I did fact check. Rob Duvall is only a ripe age of a youthful 91.
He's not looking too good. He's not looking too hot. And you know he smoked a lot of cigars in his day.
Isn't he in a movie? Oh, no. I got him confused. I was like, isn't he in a movie right now that just came out? But that is the guy with the mole.
Who are you talking about?
Very huge actor. We know him. What's his name?
Who are you possibly talking about?
The Meet the Fockers dad.
Oh, Robert De Niro?
Thank you.
He's not quite as old, but I do worry about him in the next 10 years.
I feel senile. They're both Rob.
I feel senile right now as well.
Robert De Niro. He's aging well.
Yeah. Anywho.
He's 79.
Anywho, if you have any more monarchy facts, let me know. I was
I was just gonna say, sometimes I get on these weird tangents where I will literally just start Googling ages of all these celebrities, like back to back to back. Like, I just have to know how old everyone is. It's just like random.
You're playing 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon with yourself.
Yeah. Sorry. Continue.
But I was going to say something. I don't remember what I was going to say. But all of this, needless to say, all this talk of the Queen and whatnot made me really miss London. And I haven't been in ages, and I'd really love to go back.
For those of you who don't know, Ashley studied abroad in London for a month with a summer program through Pepperdine circa 2018, I want to say.
It was after I was a freshman.
I feel like it was 18. I'm going to go with that.
It might have been 17, a long time ago.
Good heavens. Yeah. I've only been to London for one weekend. I did a weekend trip while I was studying abroad.
Weren't you dressed like a hooker?
Correct. It was Halloween weekend, and I was dressed. It was supposed to be like Katy Perry or some shit. I had a pink wig. I used to be really into wigs. Like, I just
you
was,
did have a phase. You were on before the forefront of
all
parties.
The bachelorettes were wearing wigs on their trips. I was wearing them for fun and was just biting at the bit every time I would get a chance to wear one, like on a holiday such as Halloween. So I was wearing a pink wig. And I had fishnets and like a tight pencil black skirt with black boots and like a lacy see-through top that literally just showed my black bra. So I just looked like a low-grade cheap hooker. That's what I looked like, if we're being honest.
You walked up and down. You marched up and down those streets, huh?
And it felt kind of like The Amazing Race because my boyfriend at the time, Jacob, got kicked out of the bar for doing something he shouldn't have been doing. He was stealing shots from behind the bar. Like, he was taking them physically and just ripping shots.
Oh, yeah,
and
wrong.
The guy who was dressed as a male female nurse, he was wearing like a woman's nurse costume. It was like this big burly man. It was really funny. He was injecting shots into people's mouths with little, like, whatever those are called, needles.
This is like syringe thing.
Yeah, the syringe. And so he started yelling. This big, tall, scary man started yelling at Jacob, and I was panicking. Jacob got kicked out, and being the good girlfriend I was like, okay, I have to, like, go with him, like, leave the bar, leave the party. And so we went outside, and it was frigid in London, like, absolutely bone-chillingly cold. And all of our friends were trying to catch this one train, and everyone was drunk, and we didn't know where we were supposed to go. And then people were running because we were running late for the train, and somebody took a turn down some alley, and then Jacob and I went somewhere else, and we ended up being so lost. And I was dressed like a hooker in the middle of the night in London, freezing cold, no jacket.
We've said this among our own friends, but I'm going to say it now for all to hear. Yes, I will let my children study abroad. But do I think they should? No. It's nuts that we send these 19, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids to a foreign country for months on end. And we basically say, all right, if you can fund it, or if I can give you some money, go ahead, travel. I don't care what country you go to on the weekends. See you in 6 months.
Literally. And it's not like these, especially in schools like Pepperdine, where these kids are brought up in a very conservative household typically and just kind of more sheltered, like their hand was held a little bit more than
you probably weren't drinking at 14.
Yeah, kids were out there roughing it or whatever. So a lot of people, like, this was their first time really experiencing true partying and like alcohol and everything, because it's legal in Europe when you're 19. And so people were just going nuts abroad.
And you're meeting men in clubs and you're getting on on scooters, and it's just like a lot of nonsense.
And you're just doing everything for the plot. You're like, well, I'm only here for a good time, not a long time, so better try everything once.
Your frontal lobe is so far from being developed.
So far. You're taking road trips in a Fiat 500 with four people above 6 feet tall, and you're sleeping in the back of it and almost dying because nobody cracked a window.
You're sleeping on couches. You're chain smoking cigarettes. You're drinking out of brown paper bags in parks. It shouldn't be allowed, but I'm going to let my kids do it.
And everyone applauds you because you're so worldly and you had all this experience.
Everyone thinks you're so brave and having so much fun and that you have all this experience now. And anywho.
And really, we were just pale and sad. We cried a lot.
You chose to go to Lausanne. You made a mistake with that
one. I know. It was like winter 24/7 there. Yeah. It was scary.
Yeah. But anywho, that was my little tangent about abroad. And when I have children, I will feel the exact same way. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but for another time.
Speaking of traveling, I traveled this week. Let's talk about it. I traveled home this week for a wedding for one of my friends that I grew up with. Wedding. So I'm actually podcasting from the great Pacific Northwest up in Washington State, everyone.
And listen, the way I'm sitting right now talking to Abby for 10 minutes before this is her life can go one of two ways. She can choose.
I'm at a crossroads. I'm at a T in the road or a Y, or whatever the letter is.
She's at a crossroads, and that crossroad only has a one stoplight in the town because she can either decide to get back on this plane on Saturday or Sunday or whatever, send me your schedule, tell the pilot to drive safe, and she can either get back on this plane and go back to Nashville and resume her life and deal with the trials and tribulations, or she could take up her dad's offer of buying the only bar slash restaurant in this one horse town and becoming the manager for several months and then establishing it as a better place.
And wouldn't the second one be so much better for the Hallmark movie plot?
It
just really would. And we're not exaggerating when we say Ashley's been to this one horse town that my parents live in. There is
one place where you can get sandwiches and ice cream.
Yep.
And there is one place where you can get drinks and dinner, right? Is there any place else?
There's one Mexican restaurant.
You sit down inside?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there's one bar.
Yeah. But the bar I named, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's three. There's a deli counter for lunch and ice cream. And also, you're going to like this. I was looking. Wait, listen. You're going to like this. I was transitioning from like whatever purse I have right now to like a more fall colored purse. So it's like,
I know what you found.
I guess.
The crushed penny from Owens.
Yeah. I remember that.
Because I remember everything. That's totally a lie. I forget everything. But I remember that.
Yeah, and I was like, what the devil is this? And it was in Newport, Washington, and there's a bass getting caught on a hook.
Everyone think back into your life. Think back to the last time you penny pinched. Not being frugal. Penny pinched with a machine where you put the penny in and you...
You should switch to sales for penny pinching machines. Yeah, that was a good pitch right there.
You crank that wheel. You watch the penny go through and then there's like a little picture pressed into it of the little town that you visited. Find your nearest penny pincher and feel like you're 8 years old again.
I used to be absolutely obsessed with those machines.
They're so cute and fun.
And I'm going to start not being embarrassed to say I want to use one next time I'm someplace touristy.
Yeah.
Anywho.
But anyways,
I can vouch for that. Yeah, there's that. There's the bar and there's the Mexican restaurant.
Yep.
So and three restaurants.
Three restaurants, two one-way streets, in and out. That's basically
one stoplight?
Yeah. One.
And not a single soul on those sidewalks when you get out of the car. There's literally like tumbleweed practically. And last time, this is real good. When we were at the deli, when we were at Owens, the deli restaurant place, me and her and our best friend Allie, we were all sitting inside and we look out the window. It's like a Hallmark movie. And a like strapping young guy, probably no older than 26, goes walking by and he's dressed like somewhat decent. And we all crane our necks like we hadn't seen a man in years. And we're like, what is someone like him doing around these parts?
Sometimes, you know how people play that game and it's like, you're an LA 7, but you know, Wyoming 10 or the game is like, you know, based on where you're living. I have got to be like, I'm really like, we all know I'm like a very confident person, but in this one horse town, I've got to be like a 15.
LA 6, Newport 15.
There ain't no options out here. Nobody's young and cute and whatever, whatever. It's also just like a very much an older person down. There's really not a lot of young people in their like early 20s walking around this.
Truthfully,
this
the way place. That it did feel in the wintertime when we were there, some aspects of it were very Wind River, Jeremy Renner. If no one's seen it, it's a very good thriller. A little upsetting, but very good thriller. But it was very Wind River, just bison. For crying out loud, there's bison outside the gym she goes to.
It's herds actually bison. Buffalo. I'm not sure if there's a difference.
I don't know the difference is. Okay, there's buffalo, herds of buffalo outside the gym that she goes to.
It's just insane. Yeah, it's on an Indian reservation. It's crazy. Yeah,
which is something I'm also fascinated by. I find very interesting.
But yeah, also, don't you think certain aspects of it, like the Coeur d'Alene area too, could be very like Hallmark town?
Oh, no, totally. Coeur d'Alene is also a secret resort town for some celebrities. It's
And all the buildings are real old. And I love old buildings. It really adds to the charm. So,
needless to say, if you're ever in town, in a few months around the holidays when Abby takes over as general manager, GM of Kelly's, use code JGWI15, whisper it in her ear at the bar, and you will get a free shot with your cocktail.
No, I'm going to turn into a speakeasy and you have to whisper JGWI at the door to
even richer. We're just on tangents right now. Even richer. Imagine you move back and you became the radio host of whatever radio station is in the town.
Stop, like the local. My dad's already submitting poems to the Newport Minor, which is the local newspaper.
You guys will run that town. You'll be the monarchy of Newport, Washington.
Oh, Miss Americana, that's me. Running Kelly's and taking names and being the radio host.
Anywho, before we get back into the wedding, because I know that the wedding.
Great American Dynasty.
We get back into the wedding because the wedding is going to lead into our actual subject of the episode. I want to bring up a piece of content I consumed.
Please do. Is it snack time already?
Yeah, it'll be snack time because like I said, the wedding correlates to what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I'll do snack time. You know what? Let's do it.
You're always hungry, aren't you?
I'm always hungry. I eat every 2 hours. Let's do it.
Oh, God. Anywho, so as we know, I was really late to the Elvis game, so I wanted to keep that trend going. Me and one of my friends were trying to see a movie every Tuesday because they're $5 on Tuesdays.
Hell
so
yeah.
I finally saw Where the Crawdads Sing.
Oh,
and
good.
I think it was very good. Sure, it was an Academy Award worthy, but everyone was literally tearing it down from the inside out, saying it didn't resemble the book at all. She was wearing Revolve clothing, like everyone was literally
trying
to
want her to wear a brown paper bag the whole movie. That's not visually appealing.
So here are my thoughts are that the movie was very entertaining. I forgot a lot of details from the book, therefore I enjoyed it even more. Sure the acting could have been better, and I do think everyone's accents could have been a lot stronger given the area and the time.
Don't you think
period.
That Tate's accent was good? I thought his was good.
I thought Chase's was the best.
Maybe Chase is actually Southern. I have no idea.
Yeah. Tate, extremely handsome. So
Tate, most handsome person I've ever seen. Yeah. Wow.
He's really
perfect.
Young. Yeah. So incredibly handsome. In terms of her clothing, they could have just made the clothes look dirtier and not literally press tags ripped off Fashion Pass rental. Mm-hmm. And they could have made her repeat outfits because even in Gilmore Girls, you notice that they repeat outfits. In this, she was dirt poor, didn't have two dimes to rub together. They should have just made her repeat her clothes and it would have been better.
Yeah. Was the idea that Jumpin' and whatever her name is, Mabel, his wife, were they like making her new clothes?
I think they were donating clothes because they mentioned in the beginning, I'll go to like the church donation box. So I'm assuming that's where her clothes were coming from. And then she does get money when she publishes stuff. So I'm sure she was ordering clothes then. But still.
Yeah, it was funny. There was a lot of slander on the outfits for sure.
Yeah. And then the ending was so tender. I teared up a little bit.
I know. When they're in the boat and it shows them getting older and it shows her like waving at her mom when she's six and then it's them aging.
Yeah.
And then he finds her and she's, you know, dead at the end.
It was
so
tender. And I really love the man who played her lawyer. I thought he was very wonderful and tender. I'd like him to be my grandfather.
I had seen him in other things.
Mm-hmm. Overall, 7 out of 10 for the movie, really. I don't know why people tore it apart. It was very entertaining.
It was very entertaining, especially if you liked the book. Like, I don't know why everyone always thinks the movie has to be exactly like the book. Guess what? They're two different art forms. A book you can digest. You can move from scene to scene. You can get really into the details. It would take sometimes like 6 hours to copy a book straight into movie. Like, it takes longer. Yeah. You have to have some quiet scenes. People don't understand. You have to cut some shit out for it to be a movie.
Just like in Pleasantville, it means whatever you want it to mean. It doesn't have to mean anything.
Yeah. And that's the greatest lesson of all.
So what other content? Oh, I feel like the movie industry is back because there was a lot of trailers for stuff that I'm excited to see.
It's back, baby. So Don't Worry, Darling is one of them. I already know we're yes. both excited to see that.
There's another one that seemed like a comedy thriller type of thing. And it's literally with like Taylor Swift. Like there's all these, it's an all-star cast.
I'm sorry, what? I've never heard of this.
I saw the trailer on Tuesday.
Wait, how exciting.
Maybe she's just music in it, but her name is still like listed. Oh, Amsterdam. It is with Margot Robbie.
Oh, she's just all over the place.
Taylor Swift. One, please pause.
She acting? I think it is.
I'm not sure if she's acting or if she is just. It's like a mystery comedy, it says. Christian Bale, Margot Robbie. It should be good. It looked very entertaining.
Anya Taylor-Joy, John David Washington. And Michael B. Jordan.
It's Robert De Niro. It's about three friends who witness a murder.
What? Is this the Robert De Niro movie I was talking about?
Maybe.
Earlier? I think so. Wait, how exciting. And then also, did you ever see Top Gun Maverick?
No.
Oh but my God, you're such a loser. She's never seen it.
In my mind, I said, you know what? I'm going to see it 4th of July weekend. Instead, you know who I saw instead? 5 Seconds of Summer. Okay? That was my time that I carved out for Top
free,
Gun.
For free, at least.
For free, at least. That was my time that I carved out for Top Gun, and the moment passed. So I think I'm just going to watch it at home now.
Well, have you seen the original Top Gun?
No. I've seen bits and pieces as a kid.
Okay. Like, I had never seen the original Top Gun either, and I planned originally to watch the first one and then go watch the actual like new one in theaters. And it never happened. And so I watched the new one in theaters, you know, however many months ago, 2 months or something. I can't believe it's still showing. Like, it is still in the box office. It's making money.
Making an obscene amount of money.
It's nuts. I would see it again. Anyways, last night I watched Hoosiers, a great underdog sports film, if anyone's interested.
I think I have the DVD that you gave me.
So good. No, but 2 nights ago we watched the original Top Gun, my parents and I. And let me tell you, I had low expectations because it was like made in the 80s and like whatever, the quality wasn't going to be as good. The love stories and the characters in that version, so good. Honestly, almost better than the new one. The new one was so thrilling and entertaining, and just obviously all the special effects and all of the money that was pumped into it really paid off because it was great to watch visually, like very exciting. But this one was more about like the drama and the relationships and the story behind the people, and I really loved it.
Did you see Miles Teller was running around bars in San Diego and PB this past
week? I did. I see it all over TikTok. Miles Teller. And you know what? He's not looking as cute as we all
I don't know that
imagined.
I would recognize him if I saw him in a bar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would.
He looked a lot older in the TikToks than I feel like he looks in public. The other public, like the movie star public.
The other public. The press public.
Also, I will be making a list of 20-some movies you need to watch between now and Halloween. They will be fall movies and they'll be scary movies.
Oh, how exciting.
And I'll send it to you. And
we'll share with everyone, right?
We'll share with everyone. It's not a secret. But what we are going to do, me, you, and our friend India, is one, on the first week of fall, we are going
you,
to
me, and Dupree.
You, me, and Dupree, Three Men and a Baby. We are going to collectively watch Legends of the Fall together and discuss
special
character analysis. Isabelle 2, Brad Pitt. We're just going to do a whole character analysis of all of it.
I can't wait. I
also,
cannot wait.
Free idea for anyone who's listening. I know people actually listen. So free idea for you guys. Me and one of my friends are planning on making a special fall-themed dinner and watching Little Women also the first week of fall.
Oh, that's so special too.
So take that and run with that. Anyone who cares to do so.
Such good ideas. Such good ideas.
Last piece of content I have for you. I think I had already suggested this, but I'm really into the Celebrity Memoir Book Club podcast.
Oh, cool.
And I'm going to ask them to be on our podcast because I think they're just interesting to listen to because there's so many celebrity memoirs I care about, but I don't care to read. I don't have to waste time reading them. Mm-hmm. And they're an hour and they cover literally every detail and they also give funny commentary.
That's cool. Such a good idea and such a good niche.
Yeah. So
we love supporting other podcasters on this podcast.
Any content for you?
Sorry, I just
no content. Illiterate, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I like breathed in and something
illiteracy. Do you know about the joke about Leah Michelle being illiterate?
No.
You don't know about that? No. It came out on Twitter a few years ago, some conspiracy theory that Leah Michelle can't read. And it has spiraled so far out of control, where people are like, just prove it, Cecilia, just prove it, that she finally made a video where she was reading a kid's book, but her hair was covering her ears, and everyone was like, no, that doesn't count. You must have an earpiece in, and people are telling you what the words are. And
shut up.
And she's starring in Funny Girl right now, and one of her lines is something like, I can't, like, I couldn't read the book. And the whole audience started laughing when she said that.
Oh my god, that's funny. I didn't know anything about that.
Oh my gosh, I'll start sending you the TikToks, because one came on my For You page a few days ago that completely convinced me. And it was a girl that said she went to Leah Michelle's book signing, and she was showed everyone. I saw pictures on TikTok, and then she said, now look at her signature in the book from when I was a child. And it is just a scribble. There's nothing legible there.
Wow.
So that's a whole, that was a whole separate thing. Yeah. Back to your
the only content I have for my snack time version is I've been watching Dated and Related on Netflix.
Oh, yes. I know you're pining for fame.
Yeah. Someone from my high school and my childhood, who I played basketball with literally from fifth grade all the way through 12th, was on the show. So I've reached out to her. Stay tuned. Her name is Karina Ropo, if you are familiar with the show on Netflix. And so we may or may not have her on the podcast, her and her brother Joey. We'll see. Stay tuned. But that's exciting, just to like see someone you grew up with beyond television. How fun.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is I've been reading Love in Other Words. I'm about halfway through.
Oh,
and it's
as good
really
as everyone says.
Tender. It's very much Every Summer After vibes. But honestly, I like this one a lot better.
Okay. Great. I will try to find it then.
Yeah. The characters are so endearing. I love them so much.
You.
Yeah.
Okay. So after that tangent, back to your wedding. And not just the wedding, but also your tooth.
My tooth. Okay.
The tooth and then the wedding.
My tooth is fine. Nobody worry about my tooth. It's fine, everyone. I was wake surfing and the wakeboard. When I went down, I literally had one try. I had one shot at it. And this was my very first time up on the board, whatever. I go down really gently. I don't even fall. I just like lose the wake or whatever. And I start going down slowly and the board goes under the water. And then it shoots back up out at me. So when I came up out of the water, for some reason, like just the way the water was like sucking the board in and then pushing it back out, it shot at me like a rocket and it smacked me in the mouth. And I was so shook. I was like, what just happened? Like it really hurt my lips.
You
and I was
sure
like,
your teeth were there as an instantaneous reaction.
My first thought was, what about my lip filler? I'm worried about my lip filler. I got really stressed. What if this messes up my lip filler, you know? And so I just assumed my lips were going to swell and blow up like a balloon. And then by the time I got back to the boat, I was kind of feeling them. And I was like, oh, I think they're fine. Like I might have just like bruised something. And everyone's staring at me on the boat. And they're like, your lips are gushing blood. And I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean? And honestly, it didn't even hurt. I'm not sure if I was just in shock or what, but it really was. It kind of cut the inside of my mouth and whatever, whatever. But my lips are fine. My teeth
are
fine.
Very lucky you didn't chip a tooth or split your lip enough to need it glued or even break your nose a little bit.
My first thought was my lip filler. And my second thought was, oh no, what about my modeling gigs? Not the moneymaker.
Not the money maker. All you've got going for you is not smarts, not talent, not humor, but your face.
And it sure ain't a good rack. So the money maker is
face. You don't even have your rack going for you. You gotta make money off of the money maker to get a better rack.
Exactly. And so I was worried, but honestly, the swelling really went down. I iced it. You know, it's all good. But I was originally here for my friend's wedding, which is really cool and exciting. I've known her since freshman year of high school. We've been friends. So kind of one of my longer term friends. I don't really have that many friends from high school. I think she's one of the only 1.5 people I actually like and talk to. So
all 40 people from your high school are listening to this and pounding sand.
Pounding sand. No, nothing against my high school. I just didn't really walk away with like lifelong friendships like some people did. That was more of a college thing for me, and that's totally fine. But Janelle, shout out Janelle, if you're listening, she got married this weekend to her wonderful husband, Derek. I love him so much. I visited them in Texas. I visited them in Seattle when they lived there. And they're just awesome people. And it was really cool. She got married at her parents' home in Idaho, right by the water. So it was gorgeous and stunning.
Did you tear up at the ceremony?
I cried 3 separate times. I cried once when she started walking down the aisle. First
walk
of all, I didn't
the
really
aisle
know.
Gets ya.
I didn't really know how I was going to react, because this was actually my very first wedding for someone who I actually am very close with. Like it was an interesting like milestone for me to be a viewer of this and whatever. And so I didn't know like if I was going to cry or like how I was going to feel for her and everything. And she started walking down the aisle with her dad and she was crying and her husband was crying and then I was crying in the back. And then the second time I cried was when her sister was giving one of the speeches at dinner time. Her sister was tearing up talking about, you know, what a great person she is and whatever. And then the third time was when she and her dad did the father-daughter dance.
Oh,
and
that will also get someone.
I loved her first.
Oh, that's a good one.
I held her hand. And I was like, I can't stand this. There's going to be no breaths. It's all sobbing.
At your own wedding, you're going to be hysterical the entire time.
I better get some serious waterproof everything because I will be sobbing the entire time.
You're going to be really hysterical. Yeah. And also the speeches always get me too, if they're good. You have to be
speeches
very
are tender.
Articulate.
Yeah.
But it can still get me.
Yeah, and I'm a big advocate for people, if you're planning to speak, unless it's like an impromptu thing, sure, go for it. I really think there's no shame in bringing up notes. I think it really adds and it helps you stay on track with your speech because I noticed that the people who brought the notes up just did so much better than the others.
You need to be like extremely articulate to not bring up notes. Yeah. But I'm open for hire. I would love to give a speech at your wedding. I think I could really do a Randall and This Is Us.
I think you could too.
And it's not even make it about me and you, make it about the whole thing as a whole, you know.
Yeah.
I can do really well. If I already have some notes, maybe.
If there's anyone who's articulate and extremely sentimental and nostalgic, it's you. So I think
I know,
you
and then
really
someone will connect the dots and find out I just plagiarized the whole damn thing from either TV or movie.
And I don't have any memory of anything. So every memory you'll be telling me, it'll be like a gift to me. It'll be like a new memory of something that we did.
You actually wrote in a card to me for something. I forgot what the card was for, but it was maybe last year. You wrote something and you said, remind me to tell. To say this at your wedding, so you remember
really
nothing. Yeah, you remember nothing, so I'll give it to you and
I'm gonna start putting notes like remind me to at this point in my life like what I should be doing with this
first date.
It's actually concerning. I used to think it was just because I am a perpetual narcissist and I'm like not
a
good
listener.
No, I think
that you just have a bad memory.
Yeah, but now I'm thinking nope, it's just the memory thing. I didn't even play video games as a kid. What did I do to deserve this?
And I have too much time on TikTok. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
So anyways.
When I thought I had an aneurysm or like a brain tumor?
We're not talking about anything serious, are we? So anyways, so Abby thought she had, and I too thought that she probably had a brain tumor because there was a period during the depths of quarantine where
this was like right at the beginning when things were looking bad.
Where she couldn't open her eyes to like focus. And she said that she was claiming that she couldn't even sit up because she felt overly dizzy and that she couldn't focus her eyes on anything whatsoever. And
my head was like pounding for
days. I too believed, and this was out of character for you, so I too believe that you probably had a brain tumor.
Yeah.
But it turned out after some experimentation that she was just spending too much time on TikTok.
It was just an insane amount of screen time
and
a lack of responsibilities. Yeah.
Of screen time.
Yeah, and it was causing my body to physically shut down. So everyone, just know the dangers that can happen to you too.
Yeah. Stars, they're just like us. So in the vein of friends getting married, I wanted to bring up the way your relationship changes as friends as their priorities shift.
Yes.
Whether you have friends who are having children, I don't think I'm ready for that. I don't think my friends are either. Friends that are getting married or just friends that are entering relationships. Hell, I don't even know if I have friends that are ready for that.
Hell. Your 20s are weird. Your 20s are really weird because half of us
the way you defeated it twice, you sounded like the TikToks that are making fun of podcasters where they're like, yeah. So I realized that. When I start to like someone, I just have feelings, and that those feelings don't go away, and how they think they're so
insightful.
This
is us getting on our soapbox, like being so smarty pants about it all. But no, it's so true. It's a universal experience. We're all going through it. Half of us are literally trying to figure out how to grocery shop in a budget and like what we're allowed to microwave and what we're not.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The other
you're
half.
Yourself microwaving plastic. You got
and
to
the other
that.
Half. Thank you, Ashley. And the other half are quite literally birthing and raising child rearing up these babies, and they're not, it's not a teenage pregnancy. I saw this funny TikTok that was like, I am 24 and every time I find out that someone's pregnant, I'm like, ooh, like your parents are gonna be so mad. And they're like, yeah, no, I'm not, I'm in my mid-20s, it's normal, I'm gonna raise it. And they're like, oh yeah, we're not like,
I'm gonna rear it as my own.
Yeah, so there's just such a huge drastic variety of things that with different life stages that all of us are at, and it's actually insane. But I also feel like specifically to us, Ashley, like we don't really know in our core groups around us, like there's not that many people who are like literally married with kids.
No, like I said, none of my friends have children. None of them are thinking about having children.
Of them aren't even engaged.
Yeah, no. In fact, I have some friends that I would love to get engaged because it's like,
well, but it's insane. Exciting. Like a lot of my like high school people and a lot of college people we knew, they're all like married and stuff. Not anyone super close to us, but just like a lot of people around us.
Yeah, I've only been to like peer weddings. And yeah, it just couldn't be me yet. However, life is coming at you and relationships change between you and those people as that type of stuff starts happening. And sometimes relationships fall apart.
Yes, like friendships and things. Is that what we're talking
friendships,
about here?
Yeah, we're not talking about actual relationships. We're talking
about
friendships.
Screw romantic relationships. We have enough episodes on those. Yeah. And I think something that's interesting as you grow is when you're in high school and in your teen years and maybe even somewhat in college and whatever, the loss of a friendship is such a big deal because it's really important to you who you surround yourself with and what other people think about who you surround yourself with. And you're all in such close quarters when you're all going to school together. But once you're free from the shackles of school and living in that small bubble, in your 20s, you can really just thin the herd. Like if somebody's not serving you and you're not living through this relationship, it's not bringing you joy and filling you up, you can just cut people out kindly and with respect and slowly fizzle that relationship, and no one will know and no one will care.
Well, something that I don't have the answer to, don't worry, you guys aren't on the chopping block, but something that I don't have the answer to is when – like, do you hold on tightly to some relationships, like, really tightly with both hands? Do you hold on really tightly even if you don't always feel reciprocated? Or do you just hold on to things loosely? And if it comes back around, it comes back around, you know? Yeah. Like, at what point do you continue putting forth more effort versus not? Or at what point do you just say, I'm just going to hold on to everything loosely? Because if you hold on to everything loosely, what if you just end up alone, you know?
I wish that we could be more communicative and more transparent with people in the way that you would be with a romantic relationship. Because if things weren't feeling reciprocated in a romantic relationship, that would be grounds for you to have a kind, nice, respectful conversation with your significant other. And you could just say, hey, you know, I've noticed you've been doing this and kind of I've been feeling this type of way about it. I feel like you're kind of distancing yourself or not putting as much effort as you used to into this relationship. Is this still something that you want? And I wish we could have those kind of conversations with our friends. But honestly, it might come off as like really pretentious and weird.
That's
I'm
very
not sure.
No, because
that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't really just do it like that. But I wish you could.
You can only have, or like you basically only have one, you know, partner, but you can have many, many friends. So, you know, if things are loose or fizzling with one at any given time, well, hopefully you have others, or you can obviously make others. So I think that's why there's not the need to do that. And it comes off as pretentious because it's like, well, you know, I'm not dating you. I don't owe you all
my
time.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point, is you have so many friends for that reason. You try and build somewhat of a community, even if you keep your circle small. Your friends serve different purposes. Like one friend can just be like your fun party friend that you go out with and when you know you want to have like a really good, exciting time. And then another friend can be like, I'm going to sit on my couch in my sweatpants and eat popcorn and watch movies and like talk about our lives kind of friend. And then another friend can be really career driven and really push you and help you in that area of your life. And like, that's the beauty of having different friendships.
Yeah.
But I think it is really hard when you move away. That's something that I'm struggling with personally with friendships, is like a lot of people, you graduate, you move to a new town or a new state or whatever. And since you're not seeing them as much, it's like, at what cadence are we talking if we're not best friends?
Well,
obviously, like Ashley and I and like a bunch of our core group, we talk quite often. But those other like those looser ties, yeah,
I think that that ebbs and flows. And I think people are very understanding and have a lot of grace. Mm-hmm. However, what I'm wondering is, do you just kind of decide in your head, these are the ones I'm going to hold on to tightly? And I'm talking about even casual friends. Like, I'm going to hold on to these ones. I'm going to continuously put in an effort. I would like to see them at my wedding. Or is, do you, I don't know, do you like decide who those people are? Or do you just say, you know what, I'm just going to put in some effort, see what happens, whatever happens, happens. Because you don't want to break your back over something. But at the same time, there's something to be said for consistency and commitment to friendships.
Yes. There is something to be said, but I feel like the first scenario you're describing is a little bit too overthinky with it. I just think if you want to put in effort for someone, if you really truly enjoy a friendship with someone and a, who they are as a person, you will just naturally put in a little bit more effort with communicating. Yeah, but if
you find you're the person that's always reaching out, then where does that lead you?
Then I would probably personally cut back a bit. Also, something I noticed is I'm really grateful for social media because it allows those loose ties. Like, you can still kind of see and keep up what's going on with people's lives if they, like, post, you know, somewhat consistently on stories or, like, life updates and everything. And you can respond to people's stories, just short little things to, like, make them think that, like, you're, you know, still watching and
caring,
commenting. And also, now as I'm saying that, it sounds really Black Mirror and very
strange. No. Because there are a number of people.
We're all watching.
There are a number of people, especially some people I went abroad with, that I don't like text necessarily, but we do like comment on each other's stuff or respond to each other's stories, which is very nice.
And that shows that you care. That. It's really sweet, I think.
But
the way that we're all just like showing little snippets of our day and our lives and like people really are responding to it, it is very Black Mirror. It's very strange.
And then also just the idea that I realize that maybe you are in a season or a phase where you're not as close to someone because they got married or because they got engaged or because they're in a new relationship. But if you guys are actually good friends, that thing comes back around.
Yeah, that's a real thing. I just think people are on different timelines a lot of the time. And especially if there's a new couple who just got married, that first year of marriage, as everyone knows, is supposed to be the hardest. So it makes sense that they would... We wouldn't know, but that's what people say. But it makes sense that they would go off and have to put a lot more time and effort into that specific relationship to make sure that that's a solid foundation for them to grow on. And then once all of their friends start trickling and getting married too, then, you know, you're at the same table. You're at the couple's table. You're at the married couple's table. You have leveled up.
I'm not sure
we're all at different tables in our 20s. I'm at the kids' table, personally. I don't know where everyone else is at, but I'm with the kids and the finger food.
You're about to be at Kelly's table.
I'm about to be at Kelly's Tavern, slamming a beer down on the bar. Yeah, but that's kind of how it is with all of us in our different life phases. Like the engaged couples, you're at a table. The people who are in long-term relationships but not engaged, you're at the table. The singles, of course, we all know where the singles are. In the back, standing up. We're not even seated. We're not mingling. Not even seated. There is no seat to be had. We are standing in the back. We are dancing. We are talking. We're mingling. We're taking shots. And everyone else is having their sweet time having tea with their significant others.
What if we always want to be at the singles
other
table?
Couples.
The singles table sounds like the most
you can.
Fun.
We live in the greatest country on earth. This is America. You have that choice. You can be single forever if you wish.
Cake. I want to have my cake and eat it too. That's the
I wish we had like multiple lives where we could live them all differently. Like one life will be a super hyper independent woman who just like doesn't need to be married and like just do my own thing. But that could never be me. That can never be me in this life, I should say. Another life? Sign me up.
Maybe in another life. That's another Taylor Jenkins Reid book.
Is it?
Oh my gosh, you would. I haven't read it yet.
Sounds like one
to.
I'd be all over.
I haven't read it yet, but you want to. I'm pretty sure the premise is she like goes out one night and when I think when she wakes up, she might like be back with like her college sweetheart or something. And it's like a whole different path you could have taken.
Just like the butterfly effect. Like, yeah.
You'd be all over that one.
I'd be all over that. All right. Well, all of this to say, no matter where you're at with all of your friendships in your 20s, just know that we're all going through the same struggles because none of us have it figured out. And we're all just looking around at each other playing finger guns, like who's going to pull trig next and get married and who's going to move to a completely new city and start over and have a quarter life crisis. Cough, cough, me. So, yeah, don't feel bad about your friendships because we all are trying to figure this out together. And that is the beauty of it. That's the beauty of our 20s, baby.
And I think maybe the moral is to have a like more grace with your friends than necessary, you know? Grace with them, like responding and being tuned in and just being connected, because I don't know, everyone's going through the ebbs and flows.
And I think everyone knows that, like, we're on different timelines than we were when we were in college and when we were younger, because we all have full-time jobs and lives and we're just busier in general. So I think there is a lot of grace there in terms of response time and things typically.
And you're becoming the new manager of Kelly's, so.
I'm moving on up in the world. That's, I don't know about you guys.
That's a call to the callback, going back to the joke you made at the beginning of your comedy set.
Well, there it is. And we're becoming comedians, not just podcasters, but comedians, winning the hearts of America one by one.
All right. Well, if you don't already, go ahead and subscribe to our show, because that's all we really care about the most, is you subscribing and leaving a positive review. And also help Abby in her endeavor of becoming TikTok famous. Give her a follow on there.
At justgowithit.podcast on TikTok. And also, if you enjoy our content and you find it helpful or funny, entertaining or inspiring, whatever it may be, and you're just loving it, please share with your friends. Let them know about it, because we are trying to build a community of 20-somethings who all just want to go through this crazy journey together. So we appreciate it so much. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and have a fantastic weekend.
All right, go tear it up, kids.